right. Thank you guys for coming. Let's lie down and start with Savasana. Take a moment to scan through your body. And just notice how you feel laying on the floor. Notice what parts of your body are actually making contact with the floor, and which parts are being held a little bit away. Tuning into the breath. And again, just noticing what is your natural breathing rhythm at this time. And notice if it changes as we go through the class. Let's begin today by doing some gentle pressures to help the body begin to let go. We'll start with the heels, a gentle pressure into the floor with the heels. And releasing when you feel comfortable. And pressing the hands into the floor. And releasing if you haven't. Put your attention on the hips and pressing the pelvis just nice and lightly toward the floor. And release. And the mid-back, kind of a different spot. And if you find you're having trouble identifying it, then just imagine that you're doing it. A gentle pressure into the floor and releasing. And then moving upward to the upper back. And releasing. And then a very gentle pressure of the head into the floor. And then release. And let's repeat this a couple of times on your own, at your own pace, in whatever order you choose. Each time through, noticing if there's any change in your breath or in the way that you're lying on the floor. Maybe some areas are giving you more contact, or some areas might be having less contact. Just to notice what's changing. And let's let go of that. Bending the knees, let's place the feet standing. And we'll do tilting of the knees. And you can choose whatever variation you prefer. Keeping the feet on the floor, or crossing an ankle across the knee, or maybe knee over knee. Remembering that if you have two sides, that you'll take a moment to switch, giving each side equal attention. As you do this movement, notice what parts of the body begin to participate naturally. Beautifully gentle movements that you're all doing slowly. Jan's all rolling all the way onto her side now. It's just made a change there all of a sudden. It's very nice. And let's come back to center and lengthen the legs for a moment. And again, just notice what's different in the way you're being held by the floor. What's your relationship to it now after a little bit of movement? And let's roll to the side and do some wipers. Again, there are a variety of options there, so do what's most comfortable. Remembering to watch the hand with the eyes as it moves back and as it returns. And when you finish the one you're on, you can turn to the other side and continue. Jackie, if you want to move a little toward me away from the couch, it might be more comfortable. Yeah. Now we have enough room and I can move too if we need to. And again, noticing what's changing in the breath, if anything, as you do your movements. I'm relaxing just watching you today. So lovely. And let's do one more, and when you finish, again return to your back and notice what feels different. We always want to make sure that if we have any sort of discomfort while we're doing a movement or holding a posture, that you just take a break as we go along. If I ask you to lay flat on your back, you're welcome always to have the knees up with the feet standing or whatever other position. Some people end up needing to be on their sides until they heal a little bit. So let's come up to sitting. And let's do some foot lifts. when we do our foot lifts, the important thing here is to allow the arm that has the hand on the foot to stay straight. Then the body will turn when the foot lifts. And let's come to the front foot and lift that one a couple of times too. And leaving the knee on the floor with this one, if you can. Yeah, which means you might have to lift a little less. Right?
A lot less.
A lot less. Well, then do a lot less and notice what feels different. And let's do sitting twists. One of the things that I do, I want to show you something. I remember doing this in one of Jan's classes a long time ago, and it was quite an exciting discovery. That there are times when I'm doing sitting twists that I can't do it right away. And so what I do is I'll come down and just come as low as I'm comfortable and go back and forth and let my body just move and wake up a little bit. This helps my lower back is what will restrict me. And to just find a way to support my body with my hands. So you might, you know, try different hand placements to find where you're feeling supported. And go back and forth a few times. And then of course give it a rest. And notice if it makes a difference for you then, whether you can get to that opposite knee a little easier, or maybe you'll find you're twisting around a little bit more. Is anybody feeling a difference with that?
Definitely makes making a difference.
Yeah, good, good. I was very excited when I discovered that one day. So it was just, some days my back is just so stiff that I can't immediately get down to my full range.
And it's one of the harder warm-ups.
It is. So let's switch sides and continue with our foot lifts. And even notice if it makes a difference in your foot lift on this other side, because there's a very strong relationship there with that lower back.
I notice the constraint in my hips.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a nice one to work on to slowly get my hips.
Yeah.
A little more.
Yeah, they're so closely connected, right? And lifting the other foot. So the hips, or the pelvis, if we think of it as the, you know, the bony structure, and then the muscles that are the low back muscles that attach directly to that part of the body. Good. And then again, if you feel like you need to, again, to do that movement a couple times before you do your twisting. And I think one of the things that a lot of people do when they do this warm-up is that they're trying to keep their hips or both parts of their pelvis on the floor. It's okay to let one side of the rear come up as you turn and rotate. Just allow it to feel free. And let's come back to the center. And just sitting in easy pose, whatever that is for you. Let's do a few circles with the head. And as you do that, being aware of forward, side, back, and side, and forward. Kind of rounding out those four places. And again, remember to stay in the middle of range of your movement. Don't go as far as it's possible. and reverse the direction. And return to the center. Let's keep the eyes closed and we'll do a little eye movement. Let's look up toward 12 o'clock and down to 6 o'clock. Up and down. Up and down. Up and down and return to center. And then looking side to side to 3 and 9. Left and right. Couple more times. And let's look at the diagonal from the center going up to the right and down to the left. Up right, down left, up right, down left, up right, down left, and return to center. And then up to the left and down to the right. Up left, down right, up left, down right, up left, down right, and return to center. And let's do a couple of palming. Nice big slap. And get some energy going in the palms and hands over the eyes. And one more time. Alright, shall I turn the fan up a little? Are you guys still too warm? Feels kind of hot still to me. Okay. Alrighty, let's lie on our backs to start with our postures. And we'll start with Vatayanasana. Knee to chest. And remembering in Sugi Yoga, we're looking to be stable and comfortable. And we want to alternate our stillness with movement. And the movement is going to help us to develop our skills and release our tensions and to get us into a more proper posture over time. As the body becomes more and more comfortable and unnecessary tensions melt away. So you're always welcome to start movement before I tell you to. Do what feels comfortable to you. I'm gonna help you, so just relax. Notice what changes. Okay. You can switch sides if you need to. And remembering that when we have two sides to a posture, that we can switch back and forth between them as frequently as we want to maintain our comfort. And our ease. And let's roll over to the pigeon. Again, remember the variations. The closer that the heel is to the groin, you might be kind of sitting on top of it. For many people, it's a little easier. And then the more you pull the foot out away from the groin, the more advanced it becomes. Beautiful movements. Let's come up to downward dog for a couple of breaths. And then switch into the other side of the pigeon. Your wrist okay, Linda? Yes, no?
Yes, it's okay.
Okay.
I'm just resting.
Okay. Good. Very good. And when you're done with your movement, you can return to stillness for a breath or two and again, noticing how comfortable are you? Is there any change in your breath from the beginning of class? Is it getting harder to breathe? Do you find you're making a little too much effort? If you've had enough, I love seeing that. Come down to your belly and rest. And actually, let's go ahead and do that anyway. And why don't you guys turn around so your heads are this direction for me? Jan's stuck in a comfort place. Okay. I don't know if you all remember this one, so I wanted to make sure you could see me. We haven't done it in a long time. Caterpillar? You guys remember with the lifting of the hips up so that you have little animals running under you. No, we don't have any. We only have big animals. So you want to start on your belly. And you can have, are you familiar with this one, Linda?
No.
Okay, so you want to have the chin on the floor and the hands can either be placed at the sides like this or you can have them down. And then you can see what Jan is doing. You lift the hips, and you don't have to go as high as Jan goes.
And it's a little hard on the mat.
Yeah,
on the mat.
It's harder on the sticky mat, so you might want to, move on to the carpet if that's easier. Yeah, good point. Thank you, Jackie. Because it does make a difference whether you're on a sticky mat or not with a lot of the postures. And so what you want to do, is get a little rolling movement of the hips, and again, remember to do only a little bit at first. So you can have the intention of raising the hips and then let them down and rest. Right? And it can be very small lifting. Yeah. So just try it once or twice and rest. A lot of resting on this one. Yeah, just like that. That's great. And then let it down. Yeah, very nice, Eileen. Great. Jackie's got little mice running under her. When I first learned this posture, it was one I strongly disliked. But I found that as I got better at it, my back got so strong that it was a pleasure to do, and now I love it. And so you can see how Jackie's doing a nice little smooth movement of the pelvis back and forth. It's just beautiful. And it feels so good to do that. So that's probably enough. Go ahead and rest. Now move your hands to a comfortable place. And your head to a comfortable place. And again, notice what kind of contact you have with the ground. How well is the floor supporting you? Are you letting it support you? And then let's do the cobra or the sphinx, depending on what you're comfortable with. And there's a movement that I like to show with this one that we talked about recently in another situation. There are actually two movements in the sphinx. One is to let the shoulders sink and then raise so that the ears come down closer to the shoulders. Kind of a collapsing feeling. Very nice. And then the other one is a rounding so that the face comes down and then an arching, bringing the face up toward the ceiling. Yeah. So play with those a little bit, and again, remember to rest frequently, because resting is one of the most important parts of our practice. Because when we're resting, we're allowing the brain to do its absorption and to take all of the new information you just gave it through your movement and to collate that and put it into order in some fashion. So, even though we're taught that change comes from doing, in actuality, the change comes during the resting, because the body is at rest, but that's when the nervous system and the brain is working to integrate. So, make sure you give yourself that time. And of course, always resting before you have any kind of pain or discomfort or feeling of exhaustion. And let's take a rest, let go of that. And the next thing we're going to do is the bow. So take your break for a moment. And then we'll move to the bow. Okay, everybody familiar with the bow? Looks like it. One of the things I like to do with this one, because this is another one that can be hard with the lower back, and so I like to do one side at a time. And I like to practice lifting individually. So again, if you're comfortable with this, go ahead and keep practicing, but I want to show people. It's a different kind of coordination. Yeah, exactly, which is why I like to do it, because, you know, again, remembering like what you said the other day, that we're developing skill power instead of using willpower. And so to be able to coordinate lifting only one side, and then you need to coordinate lifting the other side, that's a lot of skill that's developing. That's brain work, right? So the way I like to do it is that I let one side rest, and I start by lifting my knee. So I'm not really pulling from my hand at all. I'm just lifting my knee. And if you can put your hand on the foot, that's fine, but you don't have to. You can do it independently. Some people can't even reach the foot initially,
yeah.
Right? So this is a great place where they just, yeah, lift the knee. Beautiful, Linda. And you just do that a couple times, and then put that leg down and do the other leg. And lift that knee. And I love seeing what Linda's getting, and now Eileen's getting it too. There's kind of a crossing over that starts to happen. There's a twist in the spine as you lift higher, that you're allowing that to occur is really great, and it makes a big difference. Yeah, right. Okay.
It feels good. It's not as limiting as when you're trying to hold on.
Exactly.
It gives you a lot more movement.
Right, so it's developing the ability to do that and feeling, oh, I can do that. Because a lot of times people just get stuck with this posture and feel like they can't do it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So then from there, you want to practice reaching back. And remember to use your head, right? Look behind with you, because that's going to help your body make that movement back. Yes. Do you see the difference? Yeah, shocking sometimes, isn't it? So don't try to lift yet. Just start by looking as you reach. Remember that in Sugi Yoga, we're not having a goal in mind so much as going through a process. Right? So it's about breaking it down into the pieces of that process and then allowing the body to integrate after some rest. Okay? And once you've had a break, if you feel like trying both, then you can.
Okay.
You have a question?
No.
Okay, thought you had a question.
I had a holy cow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Woo, there she goes. Nice. Very nice. Okay, that's enough of that one.
Let's do child's
pose. I was just going to say that. Yeah, let's come back into child's pose. That's exactly what we need to do next. Thank you, Jackie. Requests are welcome.
This sounded good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, wherever you want your arms to be, give that back a rest. Lots of nice noises, happy noises. It's always a good sign when you hear those happy noises in class. And let's roll ourselves up to standing. And stand in Tadasana. Really being conscious of stacking the bones as you stand in Tadasana. Placing the feet directly under each side of the pelvic girdle. Allowing the leg bones to be in line between the ankles and the pelvis. The shoulders are over the pelvis and the spine is in the center. You can kind of feel, when you get it nicely stacked, how the head is held very weightlessly on top. Doesn't feel so heavy when we're well stacked. It's a funny term, huh? and a lovely movement in Tadasana is just rolling the head very gently and smoothly from one side to the other. We want to do our movements in such a way that a spontaneous deep breath just overcomes us. And this is, for me, one of the ways I know that I'm really doing my movement well, is that I can't help but breathe deeply. It just happens automatically. I'm not trying to manipulate my breath at all. And return to the center. Noticing what effect that gentle rolling of the head has. And feeling it all the way down the spine. Let's do the tree. You can pick whatever variation you want. If balancing is hard, then it's good to keep one foot on the floor. Or you can bring it all the way up, or if you're really good, you can bring it up in front. Whatever fits for you today, knowing that's going to be different on other days. You're running out of room with that ceiling there. That's a good way to cheat. You can just hold on to the ceiling. You guys should trade places so you can. Yeah. And remember to, you know, switch regularly from side to side. And breathing. That's lovely, Jan. So one of the things I like to show people when they have trouble with balancing, and I'll offer you this, actually comes from my Tai Chi practice, not my yoga practice, but it's equally valuable here, which is to do what we call circling the feet. And this provides us the opportunity to feel every single part of each foot. And then you're really standing fully on the feet. So many people, they stand just on a portion of the foot, and then when they try to stand on one foot, they're all wobbly because they're not using that whole surface to stand on. So we start just by making a circle, starting at the big toe and moving through the little toes down the side of the foot on the outside, down to the heel, and circle across to the other heel, up the outside of the opposite foot, cross the toes to the center, and then continue and just circle a couple of times in this direction. And I often find it's easier if the knees are a little unlocked, so you're not challenged with your balance even doing this. And again, staying in the middle of your movement, which means that you don't want to go so far over the edge that the foot lifts, but keep the foot fully on the floor. And then reverse your circle a couple times the other direction. And notice what's different, because there will be differences from one side to the other. And then let go of that. Always makes my ankles pop. Do you hear that? Yeah, it's fun, huh? Yeah, and so you can do that before you do any balancing posture, and you'll find a difference. I wish Kat was here to join us today, because she would probably appreciate that. I don't think I've shown her that. So try your tree again. And switch feet if you haven't tried the other side yet. And notice if there's any difference for you or not. Remember to keep that knee bent too. I'm seeing big differences here. And returning to Tadasana. Let's do half moon. If your arms get tired, place the hands on the head, let them rest, or even just bring them down to the sides is fine. And remember, we have two sides. You can go from side to side as you choose. There's a movement that comes from here. You feel that lengthening?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not about necessarily going further, it's about allowing the ribs to expand all the way up into the armpit. You feel the difference?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So many times we forget that we have ribs because they get all clumped up into one piece. But they go all the way up. You feel the lengthening a little bit.
Uh-huh.
There. Yeah. And just kind of bringing attention to them.
Uh-huh.
So you say, look at me, look at me. I've got, how many are there? 7 ribs or something? You know. Just like when we work with the spine, doing like half bridge, and we want to contact each of the different vertebrae in the back, we can do that same thing here, working with the half moon, or what I'd like to do next is our triangle, right? Gives us an opportunity to do the same thing. When we lift the arm up, to be able to feel by lifting the shoulder higher and then lowering it, and really feel those ribs and the capacity there to have movement. So even here, Linda, I'm not even looking up at this point. I'm just allowing my head to be in an easy position so that I can allow, I'm not restricting, in other words. When we turn the head, it creates more restriction in the body, right? And so to let it be easy and keep my head forward while I practice feeling my ribs, and do both sides too if you haven't switched, to just feel that lengthening that comes all the way up by reaching and lowering. Really letting. So if you want to stop for a minute, come and I'm just using Linda because she's right in front of my eyes here. So if you watch for a minute, yeah, and notice how this whole shoulder girdle can lift and lower.
Yes.
And lift. You feel, see how it lifts and lowers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it actually can go up and it can come down right there. It goes up. Feel it now?
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down. It becomes visible. Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're looking for. Go ahead and rest. Yeah. I had to push a little for your muscle to go, oh, I can drop here.
I felt it.
Yeah. But it had to be my hands telling your muscle that time. But now your body knows it, so it can do it itself. Jan, if you want to move over where it's...
Actually,
does it feel good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can reach up and I can almost, push.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure.
It gives me a
pressure, yeah.
That I can see.
Oh, that it's raising and lowering.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because I start here and then I can reach the back of my hand all the way up.
Nice, yeah.
I know.
It's changing. Another way I like to use this one is when we're actually in the you know, either I like the lazy triangle, it's just comfortable for me. But to reach the arm across, and this again is something that can be hard for a lot of people, but it's because of the restriction in this part of the body and the ribs. So we want to let that belong? And it comes across. And we start reaching and then letting it come across. Right? So you first want to let the arm reach up. Yeah, there you go. Nice movement, Linda. And then it's already extended and expanded so you can come across. Okay? You're welcome.
They're
They're often forgotten. Me too. That's why I practice it so much. And it feels so good when I remember too. So let's come back to Tadasana. Just feel how we are in standing now.
I feel taller.
Yeah, good. Anybody else notice that kind of a change?
I feel more flexibility in my hips.
In your hips. Great. That's cool. Very nice. All right, let's just do a couple of minutes of forward bend. And bend your knees as much as you want to be comfortable. And remember that you can come up and down as many times as you'd like in order to find a place that's comfortable. So it may not feel good the first time you go down, so come back up again and try again. Change something. Maybe the distance your feet are apart, or maybe don't go as low, or bend your knees more or less, or whatever. I see a few very nice movements happening, so feel free to add some movement as you like. And always resting when you've had enough for now. Remembering that it's your brain is still working even if your body's not. Let's just bend our knees and roll on down and to the crow. Remember that if the crow is hard for you or if you have issues with your wrists, that you can always just come onto your hands and knees instead and do your little wrist strengthening exercise. Okay? And if it's not an issue with your wrists, but you just can't quite get up there, then you can practice by kind of rocking forward and back, coming down, coming forward, and coming back. Linda, is it hard for you to have the elbows between the knees?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So can you see how Jackie's knees are way up on the top of her arm there? That's what we're aiming for. Mm-hmm. And so when we practice just to squat and let the arms hang so that you can start to feel the relationship between where the arms and the knees go, that by itself is a great thing to practice.
My toes are feeling stiff.
Oh, well then don't. Yeah, stop. Are you okay? Yeah, stop.
I can't imagine that feeling.
Yeah, then you're not ready. When you're ready, you'll be able to imagine it and it'll all happen together. That's fine. You just try it a couple times and rest. Yeah, she's good. Yeah, she's got it. And Jan can do it too. I can go up sometimes, but not very fully. Yeah. Yeah, take a break. And while we're here, why don't we do some cowhead? And sit wherever you want if you don't want to stay in this position. You can move to fit your need. And this is another position that gives you an opportunity to feel those ribs. So not so much to lean, but if you notice that I'm lifting and lowering, I'm not leaning, I'm just moving my shoulder up and down. And it lengthens the ribs, yeah. And both sides. And notice if it feels different on this side. Remember, you can move side to side as much as you like and resting when you want as well. So, take a break. Rest in whatever position you'd like. Let's do a couple of minutes of headstand. So with headstand, you want to remember to measure. And then have your hands as a nice support for your head. Okay. Measure. The arms. That's a good way to determine the width of your arms in headstand. Yeah. And then you just open them into a triangle and put your head inside, so the curve of your head's inside your hands. And put your head on the floor so that, yeah. Very nice. And then I also love what Jackie's doing, which is really rolling the head, the top of the head on the floor, to roll it in the different directions so that you can really feel where's the top of my head and where is it stable. It's a very important practice, not only as beginners, but when you're more experienced, to come back to that over and over, because as we go through life, we develop different habits and tensions, and you know, it's good to just check in with ourselves and feel, how's the neck doing? How comfortable and safe do I feel on the top of my head? All of those kinds of things. And just do a little bit and then rest. Because big, big, big changes happen here in this upside down position. Going up and down a few times. Very nice, Jackie. Looks so comfortable. And that's what we want, you know, we want it to look and feel and be comfortable. I know when I first started learning headstand, I thought, I can't imagine how I'll ever breathe when I'm up here. So it was like so tentative, I was so worried I was going to fall down if I tried to breathe, but that's changed over time, so.
Yeah, you do a nice headstand.
On a good day. Thank you. Okay, let's come back to our backs. And take a moment to feel what it's like to be laying flat again. Is it any different than at the beginning of the class? And we're going to do one more posture when you're ready. I want to come up into shoulder stand. So if you need to adjust yourself on the floor, come down and rest. Let's return to the back for a couple of breaths. And then we'll move into pranayama. And if anyone needs a pillow, I have plenty of pillows over on the side there. Right there, yeah. Or that blanket's good too. You don't need a pillow? Oh, good. Good idea. So we want to remember that when we're breathing, the idea is to have the knees below the pelvis. Makes room for our bellies. No, we're not supposed to have them in this culture, but it's really healthy to have a belly.
That's good.
So let's let it all hang out, right?
I've always had
one. Yeah. Me too.
That's good. Chi.
That means we're normal.
Yeah, a little chi belly. That's good. So let's start with some Kapalabhati. You all know how to do that, right? If you don't feel like doing that today, you can just do some belly and chest breathing, alternating. And feel free to interrupt me if you have questions. two or three rounds as fits you today. Being aware that as you are holding the breath, let the rest of the body be as relaxed as possible. Finishing the round you're on, let's move to Anuloma Viloma, alternate nostril breathing. Is under, then it's easier to go back and forth. If these fingers curl in, these can go back and forth between them a little easier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It takes a little practice to get used to that, but once you do, then it makes it much easier, especially if you're using it for like cooling breath or something. If you're real hot, this is a good cooling breath, the alternate nostril, that kind of thing. So then you want to be able to have the ability to do it more quickly. And next time you exhale through the left, finish with this. And make yourself comfortable for meditation in whatever way you want to be, sitting or lying down. And today I want you just to watch the breath for your meditation, noticing the length and quality of your natural inhalation and exhalation. Observing the body and how it responds to your breath, so that you're observing multiple aspects of yourself simultaneously, with the primary focus on the breath. Let's take a nice deep breath, and if you're laying down, return to sitting. And gently opening the eyes. Thank you so much for joining me today. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Namaste. I'm Amy Ares, one of the founders of Sugi Health and Fitness, and I've been doing yoga since the late 1980s and took the first Sugi yoga training in, I think it was about 5 years ago, 2002 or 3. And I took it originally because I wanted to improve the way I was teaching Tai Chi and gain a deeper understanding of movement and how to apply the Sugi Wei concepts to different types of movement. So that's what I did, and it's been a great success, and I hope you enjoyed our class.